Are you talking about that offer I made? That still stands.
Is that right?
All you gotta do is let me walk out that door. Let me disappear.
No such thing as disappearing, Shep. It's only dying. As far as good people go, I don't recall meeting one that wasn't already dead.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
On the brink of the year 2000, and we hear stuff.
Mr. Metzger, welcome to the Royal Treatment. You're on News Talk 76 WSB.
How are you, Royal?
I'm suffering here, Tom. What's all this talk about the lone wolf?
The lone wolf? Yes. Well, the lone wolf is simply activists who have decided that we no longer believe that in this great country it's safe to have public meetings and so forth, and that we advocate that many of our activists operate as lone wolves or independent contractors.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean going out and doing violent acts?
That means going out or staying home and doing whatever that particular person decides to do.
I listen to your message. What is the Iron Heel?
The Iron Heel is our name for the federal government.
Okay.
It comes from the book written by the great racist Jack London.
Can you explain your views? Are you a racist?
Oh, yes. I'm a racial separatist who believes in separate development and advancement of the races.
Do you believe that you are superior?
I doubt if I'm superior to everybody, but I surely hope the white race is superior. They haven't acted like it for some time. I begin to doubt it.
I begin to doubt it
because I think nature is going to clobber us if we don't get back some of our old ways. Well, the white race, the European white race, has always been the minority race in the world. Everybody forgets that in this country. We are the true minority, but through our intelligence and creative ability and technology and military, we've been able to carve out a real power in this world. And if we subdue those in the search for this equality, we're going to lose it all.
Why do you think that the white man should able to run this country? Why can't the other races of people who have contributed to this country also participate in the great bounty of America?
Well, because this country was set up as a white country run by white people. All our founding fathers were white. They were racist, and that is the way it was until we started meddling with the Constitution, and also big business wanted to bring in cheap labor. It wasn't the poor white people that brought in all the non-whites. It was always this 1% of the rich whites who've been betraying us for a long time.
Well, let me tell you this. Even though the white man may have founded this country, there were Africans and Asians and immigrants and Jewish people that helped provide the foundation for this country to survive. This country would not be where it is in such great standing if it were not for the contributions of all the minorities that we have.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe that we would probably be beyond the stars already and space travel and everything else if we had kept it all white. Because if you'll check the technological encyclopedias that are available for everyone in the library, you'll find out who has contributed the most as far as this technology and science and medicine and so forth. And the ones who are from other races and other groups like Jews, they benefited by their contact with our education and our civilization in Europe before they came here. So they should thank God that they were the Aryans allowed them to take part in that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that everybody's very thankful. So let me ask you.
Well, they should, because you're a product of Western civilization.
Everything that every race has contributed, including the Jewish Albert Einstein, to this country, they have every race has contributed to make this country great. It's our diversity that is our strength.
Well, the white race would have survived without Albert Einstein or actually any of the Jewish scientists, but if they want to participate in Western civilization and be loyal to Western civilization, then that would be fine. But there's,
no,
but there.
Time, there's no doubt that the white race would have survived.
Of course.
I'm not talking about the white race going extinct, but I'm saying they have prospered because of the labors of the all the other races in this country.
Well, I don't think that that's a two-edged sword because of every advancement, because of some of the thinking of Einstein. There was a downside. It's called atomic warfare and dropping atomic bombs on people.
Right, that saved a lot of American lives during World War II.
Well, I think that it may have, but I think it could have been avoided, to be perfectly honest.
All right, well, Tom Metzger, hang on for a second. We've got to take a commercial break. Phone number is 404-872-0750. When we come back, Tom, I want to ask you about the coming new year and the year 2000. There are some concerns that maybe some of your lone wolves would go off into violent acts. Can we address that when you get back?
Sure.
All right. Then Tom Metzger here. 40 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is the Neil Bortz Show on News Talk 750 WSB. Royal Marshall guest hosting for Neil Bortz today. And I will be here until noon. With us on the air right now, probably one of America's best-known racists or race separatists. His name is Tom Metzger. He's on the air via Fallbrook, California. Hello, Mr. Metzger. Are you still there?
Good morning, Royal.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Now, going into that break there, we had played a cut of yours talking about the lone wolves and rising up and knowing when and where to strike. And then there's later on in your speech you talk about the Negroes or the N-words say, don't worry, be happy, and you feel like killing someone. What is all that about?
Well, I don't think there's any white man, very few white men alive in this country that when they hear themselves being degraded continually on TV, radio, and so forth, and maybe in the workplace, that don't feel like killing somebody.
What do you mean by being degraded?
Well, if you watch television, listen to radio, go to the movies, you'll see whites and the white race degraded continually.
You are a white man, right?
I sure am.
You've been white all your life.
Yep.
Basically a white country. You'd agree with that.
Well, not anymore, no.
Not anymore. What do you mean not anymore? I mean, when was the last time we had a black president?
Well, of course, we're talking about two different things here. If you want to talk about the ruling elite in this country, who are a very small percentage of the white race, we don't accept those people, and they will use whatever means possible to maximize profits and stay in power.
Wait a minute. You don't even accept the white people in your organization? Actually,
our biggest problem is white people in this country. If white people were doing what they should be, and the leadership of white people should be doing what they should be, we wouldn't be in this mess.
What should they be doing?
Well, number one, you have to have leaders in the political limelight who'll stand up and support white people. No candidate for president will even say white. Have you heard one of them say white? If they would say white, it's a negative thing. When the president goes out to have his photo ops, he's continually, he goes to black schools, mestizo schools. They're always romancing non-whites in this country. Now you got the
They never go to the white schools. They never speak it.
Well, they do once in a while, but it's primarily covered when they go to non-whites and so forth. So, I haven't heard a candidate say anything about white or white working people or white poor. Have you?
I'm not really watching them that closely, Tom. I would imagine that when they speak about Americans, they are inclusive of white people.
Well, they talk about blacks. They talk about the poor mestizos. They talk about the poor Asians. They talk about everybody. But they would rather take poison in this.
At a position of privilege in this country as a white man, you're going to get just seen benefits that many Africans and immigrants and Asians and everyone else doesn't necessarily have. You get the benefit of the doubt because you're a white man, and yet you're complaining because you feel like you're losing power.
This is nonsense. The white working people, white poor, have never had it really greatly made in this country. Even when you talked about slavery, only 1% of the South owned slaves, and they controlled 99% of the capital. So the myth of a white working class running this country or being in such a great position is ridiculous. As we see now with the latest figures coming out, that are we're not nearly in as good a shape economically as everybody keeps saying we are. If you take in all the factors, of course, you got 20-30 Mexicans and Central Americans have poured in here. They're lying to us, and they're juggling the figures.
Let me ask you this: when you say you're a race separatist, what does that mean?
That means I believe races develop much better when they are separated completely. they should have their own autonomy, they should have their own independence, they should have their own leaders, and they should have everything of their own and not be one telling the other what to do.
You're talking about dividing this country into sections for Asians, Hispanics, blacks, and whites?
If that meant that the white race would have a white state, yes. But my friend Thomas Chittum, who is a military expert, has written a book called Civil War II, and unfortunately, I believe it's gone too far. I believe that we'll gradually slide into first economic internal warfare and then racial internal warfare.
Oh, really? Mr. Metzger, hang on for a second. We're going to get back to that in just a second. This is the Support Show. You're on serious topic here. We're talking with one of America's best-known racists. His name is Tom Metzger. Bringing him back on the air. Good morning, Mr. Metzger.
Good morning, Raw.
Now, what I'm trying to do here, Tom, is I want you to really, and I know you're in the final days of your long career in racism. It's about time you just give it up and just recognize that this country is great because of our diversity, and let these idle racist thoughts and put down the guns and start loving one another.
Well, I love a lot of people, especially my family and my extended family, which is my race. And no, I'll never put down the pen or the gun until we accomplish what we set out to do. And that was a declaration of war that was penned by the order by Bob Matthews back in '84.
What about the lone wolves? You guys take credit for the likes of Eric Rudolph and Timothy McVeigh.
We don't condemn them. We sometimes question the particular act, but we never condemn them. We quit doing that because black race doesn't do that. Black leaders don't seem to ever condemn their people for what they do. Other people, other races don't either. So we will not condemn anyone that's white that decides that they have something to do and go out and do it. That is a decision that's made by the individual.
Here is Bob and Marietta, or this is Rob and Marietta. Hello, Rob. Welcome to the Neil Boyd Show. You're on the air with Tom Metzger and Royal Marshall.
How you doing, Roy?
Very good.
How you doing, Mr. Metzger?
Good morning.
Mr. Metzger is a white separatist. I would, what you would call a black separatist. What Mr. Metzger wants, he wants self-preservation for his people. I want the same for my people. Mr. Metzger, if he did deep down in his heart, he doesn't hate. He only wants what any man should want, and that is self preservation for their people.
Yeah, self-determination.
Yes, black people in this country, we don't have any self. We don't have any pride. We've lost everything. We talk about we got structure and power. How do we have structure and power when the white man provides everything for us?
Well, the white.
We are not producers. We don't own anything. We don't have any leverage. We don't have any voice. We don't have any power. Black people need to wake up, Mr. Metzger. Stand up for what you believe. I'm going to stand up for what I believe. I'm a black man, and I'm going to stand up for the black man and try to build us up.
I get along fine with black separatists, always have. I think the bulk of the black people don't realize that they're getting conned, and they've always been conned in this country. And it's people like me who will say the truth, even though a lot of times people don't like to accept it.
Both of you guys are equally pathetic. Here we are sitting in the greatest country on earth right now. Both of you all have the most immense opportunities than in any other country in the world, and you're sitting why
in the world.
Black
when
people don't have this. The white man is losing this.
The penitentiaries across America. How can you call it a
bye-bye?
Well, the problem, Royal, is that you use the yardstick, like most people in this country, of economic determinism, that's the great thing, that just because you may have a few goodies, that's wonderful. I am a racial and cultural determinist. It's more important for me to have a strong culture and racial basis than it is to be economically rich. Yes, the white, the rank and file, yes. The elitists, they can fly from one country to another and live like kings. Like, for example, Tyson Chicken, who is employing all these Mexicans in Arkansas and Missouri, who's fouling our water. He lives in a castle over in Scotland, flies there in a Lear jet. The idle rich in this country can go anywhere, so they don't care.
African Americans, Jewish, it's also with the right-wing elite.
That's right. In fact, they're the biggest target as far as I'm concerned. The average black man is surely not my enemy. I have never even had a fist fight with a black man.
Well, give it time.
Well, I'm sure there's some that would like to.
I'm sure of that. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Neil Boyd Show. You're on the air with Tom Metzger and Royal Marshall.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
I've just got a couple things I need to say, and I'd like to be heard, and that's all I need to say, and then I'm gone, okay?
Well, make it quick. I mean,
we live in one, I agree with you, one of the greatest countries in the world, but when somebody this sick gets on here and talks about racial things, we're finally getting a country together, finally. Getting a country to love, and one of the reasons why we have so much hatred and so much crime going on is because people like this have nothing else to do but get on the radio and talk about other people. God did not mean for it to be my people, this people, that people. Everybody's got an arm, everybody's got a leg, everybody's got two eyes just because of a color. We do not look. Do you know what? I mean, cars.
Take your time, Chris.
Colors.
I can tell you upset. Just slow down, man. Take your time. It's all
man,
right.
Good Lord. Cars are different colors. Do we treat if you take two Ford Expeditions, one's red, one's black, are they different? No, it's the same car. The same car, just a different color. But yet we're gonna group all these things up just because a color, a race, because somebody speaks different, somebody looks different.
Well, I think we treat our Cadillacs a lot better than we do our Chevys, if you want to get to that point.
No. Cadillac, I would assume.
Well, I think the white race is the Cadillac of nature, and
what makes you think white people are so superior?
Well, all I have to do is go to the library, and I could reinforce that every day. I mean, just read the encyclopedias, and you'll see how great the white race is. Now, that doesn't mean we can't cooperate with other races, but we do not want to become other races.
What about the Asian?
Well, the Asian race, they've had their day. Sometimes they've been very, very excellent, and other times not so excellent. Probably the tip of the iceberg of Asia is the Japanese. They've done quite well. I've made trips to Japan. I've stayed there and met a lot of people who felt the same way I did about race. And I look around Japan, and everything seems to be clicking pretty good. And it's nice to walk down the street and see all Japanese, you know.
750. If you are a Cadillac, then I'm a Rolls Royce. Zane and Griffin. Hello, Zane. Welcome to the Neil Boyd Show.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, Zane.
I've been a long time listener. I enjoy talking to you,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't agree 100% with you all the time.
That's right.
But most of the times, I enjoy.
Okay, go ahead with your comment, Zane.
One of the callers has called. I forgot the name. And he was mentioning about the white race's contribution to the modern world or the sciences or the technology or something.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is that, Royal, every race or group of people from the history immemorial has contributed to the humanity. If you look at the Indians, the Arabs, the Jews, the black people, if you look very carefully with an open mind, every group of people, all the race, if you call them race, by all the human beings have contributed to the humanity.
You're exactly right. The bulk of knowledge that we have in science, culture,
yes.
and the arts have
well, when we, when I look at it, I say, well, if we want to look at India, then look at what India has produced. We have Calcutta, we have people worshiping cows and eating rats and so forth. If you want to look at Africa, look at Africa. And look at what's going on in the black Africa. So if you want to know what the product of a race is, look at where they are, where they're most of them are, and you'll see the civilizations they build. And they're not. It's not a civilization I want to live in.
There are no civilized places in Africa?
Yes. However, we've just destroyed one of the greatest, and that was white South Africa.
Here's Barbara. Hang on there, Tom. Barbara in Atlanta wants to talk to you. Hello, Barbara. Welcome to the Neil Boyd Show.
Hi, Royal.
Hey.
I really feel sorry for people like this. They're so ignorant, and I really, really, really feel sorry for their children. you cannot have a real discussion with people like this. You cannot reason with them. Does this man claim to be religious?
I don't know. What religious about what? I'm very religious about my race.
Okay, that answers the question. Now, let me ask you this. If you look...
Well, what do you worship? What do you worship?
Well, that's not the...
Spooks in the sky?
That's not the question. Will you do something? Will you just, right now, look down at the color of the skin on your hand?
It's great.
And tell tell me just exactly when did you choose that skin color?
My parents were racist, and they chose it. If my parents hadn't been racist, I wouldn't have white skin.
We have a news item here, Royal. His parents chose the color of their skin. For only people in the history of the world that did that. And I want you to know, it's not the color of your skin that matters. It truly is the content of your character.
No, skin is simply the visible part of an evolutionary evidence of who we are. Obviously, skin is just that evidence. It's what's in the brain and what the genes are. But the skin just is what is on the surface, yes. But if a lion's walking down the trail in Africa, and here comes a rabbit, the rabbit sees a lion, he don't have to think twice, that rabbit's going to run. He knows who his enemy is. And he knows he's not a lion. Pardon me?
You're saying that the blacks and whites are natural enemies? Is that what you're trying to do?
I believe when they're pushed together in one landmass, they will eventually war. And they will in this country, and they are. Except tens of thousands of whites are beaten and killed and raped in the streets, and everybody goes ho-hum. One black man gets drugged behind a truck, and it's worldwide news for months.
Well, the problem is that it was definitely some members of probably one of your organizations, the Klan, that attacked this guy. And there have been attacks on white people that are widely reported when it happens with blacks.
Very few. Very few. Most of the time it's back in the used car section of the newspaper. Well, I say, I don't blame the black people for this. I don't blame any other race for this. I blame our race, the corrupt elitists in Washington who are controlled by the transnational corporations. They care nothing for their white brothers and sisters. And that's why I respect black leaders that stand up and say, I'm working for black people. They should. Whites will not do that because these rich elites are into the money-making thing and maximizing profits. They don't care about anybody. If the black people think that these elitists who have screwed their own worker whites are going to create Valhalla for black people in this country, they're crazy.
Tom, where did your ancestors come from?
Germany and England and Switzerland.
Okay, does that make you American?
It sure does. I mean, they fought in the American Revolution. They fought in the Civil War.
What about the other people whose families fought in the American Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II? Does that make them any less American?
Any less American? I wish we hadn't had these wars. I think.
You know, what about the black Tuskegee Airmen and the Asians that built the Chinese Railroad that helped make this country great?
Well, let's take that. Well, let's take that separately. We had black Tuskegee guys bombing white working people in Europe, and we had the
Chinese. They were allowed to drop bombs. The Tuskegee Airmen only escorted bombers. The white man was the one dropping the bombs.
Well, maybe that's because they were incompetent, but the
Chinese. Oh.
You know, it's amazing how history gets all turned around. In fact, the Germans used to be tickled to death when they sent up black flyers over the Mediterranean because they'd cut them to ribbons. Now, the Chinese coming here, that was another example of the white elite screwing white working people. And the millionaire, the multimillionaires in Sanford.
What about their hard labor?
The multimillion.
They worked in this country. Doesn't that count for something? Doesn't that make their descendants Americans also?
Well, yeah, you can call yourself an American one. That means nothing to me. I'm an Aryan. I'm a white man, and that's what's important. It doesn't make any difference whether you call me an Irishman or what you call me. Number one, I'm a white man.
Okay. All right. Hang on for a second, Tom. We got to take another break. We're going to bring you back for our final segment, all right?
Sure.
The White Man. The organization is the White Aryan Resistance. His name is Tom. He's on the show. USB. On the air with us is probably one of America's most famous and well-known racist or race separatist, Tom Metzger. Tom Metzger, your claim to fame has been your son broke Araldo's nose. Is that correct?
Yes, my other friend John McLaughlin broke it again in Illinois a few years ago.
Oh, really? He had another fight with you guys.
So, yeah, and so my son and one of my friends broke his nose. Both of them did.
Okay, there you have it. That's his claim to fame now. We are one day away from the year 2000, and my question to you, Mr. Metzger, is do you anticipate any racially motivated attacks?
Well, let me put it this way. The 2000s will make the 90s look like the 50s, And things are going to get hot in this country, and they're going to get a lot hotter. And, of course, the federal government now, of course, too, is also trying to use scare tactics to implement a police state in this country, and we're moving quickly towards a police state. You can see the hysteria that's been going on just the last few days. So if this much hysteria goes on for something that hasn't happened, what are they going to do when things really start happening?
Tom Metzger. We're going to take a phone call now. The phone number is 404-872-0750. Here's the real Neil. Hello, Neil. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Royal.
Hi.
Tom, got a question for you.
Yes.
Where did white culture originate?
I believe that white culture originated primarily in Europe as we know it today.
Okay. Do you realize that the first people in Europe traveled there from Africa?
Well, no, I don't necessarily realize that. Where did they move to?
Northern Africa moved up into Northern Europe, where due to the winters and colder weather, they lost the pigmentation to their skin.
You don't really believe that, do you?
That's the truth.
I mean, we've got Eskimos that have lived in the North Pole for thousands of years, and they're still brown.
And you think thousands of years account for evolution? We're talking.
No, I don't. But I thought you did. You said they've
been about millions of years, Tom, but over millions of years.
No.
You lost the pigmentation to your skin.
I think that's the.
There wasn't any preordained culture that put white people on Earth.
Well, then let's put it this way. Then, if we all began in Africa, I guess we just got out of the trees a little earlier than you did.
And actually, there's some truth to that. But do you also realize that the culture that you harvested in Northern Europe has also halted the development of other cultures around the world? Everywhere else you ventured after that, you retarded the development of cultures.
I see. So
you returned to Africa, you pillaged it for its resources, and you enslaved the people, and you prevented the culture from developing. When you went into India, when you went into anywhere else where you decided to venture into, you exploited it. Your culture exploited it.
Well, there was, I'll agree with some of that, because that was mercantilism and the church, and it was primarily the Christian church and mercantilism that was more in for that type of enslaving. I am a separatist. I don't believe in involving myself in the affairs of other nations and other races. They should be free to operate as they see fit.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Real Neil. One final call from John on a car phone. Hello, John. You're on the air with Tom Metzger and Royal Marshall.
Hi, Royal.
Hi.
Tom, I just have one thing to say. Neil gives away Darwinism Award. My only regret is that you did not remove yourself from the genetic pool before you bred. Because I am a white male, and you make me sick to my stomach.
Good. If you don't like me, then I'm glad you're getting sick. I have a great family. I have 6 children, 9 grandchildren. We're very happy, and they're all nice, blonde, blue-eyed kids.
Hey, Tom, put down the guns for New Year's.
Right, look.
Man, we don't need the violence, we don't need the BS, we don't need all the racism.
Look, a revolutionary doesn't look at a particular day. It's an ongoing revolution, so New Year's is just another day to me. But people can reach me at Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088, or Tom Metzger, or White Aryan Resistance on the Internet.
Or is it resist.com?
That's right.
All right, appreciate the time, Tom, and go ahead and load up and whatever, but man, you need to leave the guns alone.
Thank you, Royal.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Tom Metzger. Hello.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good morning. Larry and Eric.
Very pleasant-sounding chap there. You know, Larry's a Jew. I didn't want to point that out.
Oh, my goodness. Watch him.
Hey, look, you ought to hook up
he's
with...
He's joking, you know, but he's
know,
not joking.
He's joking, but he's not joking. This is radio act. I will say one thing good about Tom Metzger. He's the guy who broke that Geraldo's nose.
Yeah, no, my buddy did.
Oh.
Wyatt Caldenberg, my good buddy, did that.
That's the only really good thing that you've done.
Geraldo's nose looks really ugly these days. I don't know if it's because of that incident.
It's because of
but,
Tom Metzger.
I mean, it looks like it's one of those fake Hollywood gum noses.
Well, another buddy of mine broke it again over in Wisconsin, John McLaughlin. So my friends have broken his nose twice.
So now let me ask you this, Tom. Now I know you have your opinions. You hate the Jews. You hate the blacks and everything. But it really hasn't gotten you far. You want to I don't know. I'm not asking. I'm not forcing you to. But you want to change your views, maybe? I mean, you got sued. Well, what? and you lost all your money or something? What
happened? Well, I lost my home and I lost my business and my wife died in the process and everything else. So we had a pretty tough time, but we're back at it again.
What are you doing these days?
Well, I'm a racial separatist. I believe ideally that's the best way to go. I think that even after billions of dollars have been spent to integrate the races, it doesn't really work that well. And the places where you see it flame up faster than others is in schools and in prisons and places like that.
I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
This is what I never understand about this whole idea of separation. What if I don't want to go be a part of the white thing? Am I going to be forced? No, you're white. You go over to the white place.
Well, we say that all the white people that think integration is the boon to mankind should be allowed to go wherever they want. We're just saying that the people who believe in the best interest of racial separation should be allowed, or they'll probably have to fight for their particular territory.
How about this, Tom?
Okay.
You're confusing two things. Forcing people to live together is bad. It never works out.
Well, that's what's going...
When people voluntarily get together... You know, we have black employees here. We see each other in the hall. Nobody forced us to work. I don't have to work here if I don't want to. But, you know, I have to see people. I wave. They're either friendly to me or they're not.
Well, you're right in one way, that if the social engineers had not become government officials and people had freedom of choice, sort of a libertarian concept, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in, because people would naturally choose one or the other, or two or three options, and they would...
I think of it, you can't have one part of America where you say, just white folks only. You really can't do it.
Well, you can do anything you decide and have the power to do.
If you own all the land,
right.
I mean, it's your land, you can keep whoever you want off, but...
Well, not these days.
It's not going to happen.
Not these...
As a federation, you can't do it.
As a
society, you can't do it. If you own the land, well, I'm libertarian enough to say you can do whatever you want on your land.
Well, you can't, though. You can't do whatever you want on your land.
But that's a legitimate fight. The problem is you throw in the racial separation and you muddy up a good fight. You muddy up the waters of a good fight.
Well,
which is that you ought to be able to have your own property rights. I agree with that. But then you throw in the wackiness with the racial separation and nobody's going to take you serious.
Well, if I have 10 acres and decide I only want white people to come onto that property, why can't I have 1,000 acres?
I agree with you. If you have the land, you own it, you should be able to do anything you want, even if it's a bad choice.
Then you would...
You can't kill people on it, but, you know...
I understand that. Then, similar to the Indian reservations, you would fight for my right to collectively bring white people together into a certain area and own the property and not be persecuted.
If you want, as long as you're not hurting anybody. But my point to you, Tom, is where does that get you? I mean, look, it all comes down to economics. If there are a lot of people out there who are not white but have talent, I'm going to hire them. I'm going to deal with them because it's in my interest to do so. You could have, if you take two companies, one company hires anybody who comes to the door with talent, the other company hires a bunch of
white
people only. I guarantee you, company B, the white-only company, is going to lose economically. They're not going to make any money.
Well, even by the size of the population of the white race, even by the numbers that at least so far have outnumbered non-whites, there's always going to be far more qualified whites available for a job than non-whites. And of course,
the facts are not on your side. Look at the computer industry. They have to lobby Congress to allow more people from India and places like that.
They're trying to get the Asians over here.
Well, that's
obvious. Jobs because there aren't enough qualified white candidates coming out of colleges for those particular jobs. So you're wrong about that.
They're doing that for two reasons. The schools have dumbed down education so badly that
that's
we're
true.
Producing dummies. And on the other hand, we have aborted millions of young white babies that would now be the people who would doing these things.
Now you're getting abstract. I don't know if Einstein was aborted. Maybe he was. You know, but
it's not abstract.
Getting abstract there.
What's abstract?
If you're white in this country and you've got some get up and go, you can get yourself a decent education and you can make it in this country. I don't buy that argument at all.
Absolutely, but we don't owe the world a thing as far as bringing their people here and letting them have the...
It's not a
a matter of owing. It's a matter of somebody says, look, I have to produce these chips or whatever in computers, and they have to be done right, and I need, right now, the most qualified candidates are coming out of Asia, not out of American institutions. I need more of them. These guys, bottom line, they need to make money. They want to have a good product.
No, well, that is the economic determinist view, that everything starts with the buck and nothing should interfere with profits. And I believe that culture and race and
interfere with products? I mean profits?
Production.
You're going to lose your culture.
No, I don't think so.
You gave a job to everybody and nothing got done.
Well, still, they're very white over there in Russia, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they failed miserably.
They're an awful country.
Well, I'd rather live in a poor country that's culturally homogenous than I would a rich country that is problem.
You know what? I say that Tom, and many people hate Tom Metzger for this very reason. I say, then go do that. It's not going to hurt anybody but you. What I'm trying to say is that if you had, let me ask you, if you had a black guy and a white guy standing in front of you, and the white guy was dumb as dirt, and the black guy had a master's degree and was the right guy for the job, you would hire the white guy.
I'm not going to operate by economics alone.
Well, just answer the question. Who would you hire?
Well, I wouldn't hire anybody because I run a single business and I operate it myself.
He was giving you a hypothetical. Put yourself in that situation.
Well, no, then put myself in this situation that we would not have pushed the integration policies. And
I'm not pushing integration.
And we had separation.
What makes the most common sense?
I believe the man with the black man with the master's degree should be the leader in his own race, and we should see what the black people can do. We've treated them like children so long that white liberals are saying.
For a different question. Here's the question again. You're a guy who wants to make a buck, right? Just like anybody else.
Hypothetically, you have
to make a living.
I want to make a living, but not at the expense of my family.
Stop it a second. You want to make a living, right?
Not at the expense of my family. I'm not going to...
I didn't ask you that. You want to make a living, yes or no?
Of course
Nobody
I do.
Nobody wants to make a living at the expense of their family, whatever the reason. Everybody wants to make a living, though, right?
That's true.
You put out an ad for a job. You need an employee desperately to fill this position.
Yes.
Two applicants come along. A white guy who's dumb as dirt has a resume that looks like Southside Steve's, or you have a black guy comes along and he has a master's degree and he has the skills and experience and he's the right guy for the job. Who would you hire?
I'd find 20 more white guys that are better.
You'd lose. You'd lose.
Let me tell you.
For every black guy you send me that's an educated black man, I could find 25 or maybe more white men who are superior.
Well, Tom, listen, you're entitled to your views, but I gotta say, make me want to say, God bless racism, because if I'm competing against you in the same company, in the same business, I am going to win every time.
Well, of course,
I know you get a lot of hate mail, and you're looked at as a fringe element in life, and people don't like you. What they don't understand is that you are actually helping more people than you're hurting.
Well, I get very little hate mail. I get more love mail than hate mail at P.O. Box 65 in Fallbrook, California, 92088.
Well, that's good luck streak, man. But anyway.
I mean,
I would say to anybody who's about to write you a hate letter, let this guy think what he wants, because you are going to win in life every time.
Well, I respect people who send me a hate letter because I think hate is a reasonable position. I think if you hate something, you intensely dislike it. If you don't love something, how can you hate something else?
I agree, but you hate things irrationally to the point.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm on your side here, Tom. Don't listen.
You're saying I'm hating everybody, and that's not true.
I don't think you hate everybody.
No.
I think you irrationally fear certain people to your own detriment, but a lot of people have it backward. They think that you are hurting society. No, you're helping society.
No, as an individual, I could have made plenty of money and just played the game. So it's not been any great gain for me at all. I believe and I have a responsibility to my family and my extended family and the generations that went before me.
Whatever your beliefs, you don't align yourself still with that crazy Nazi party, do you?
Well, I never was a Nazi.
No, but I mean, for a while there was an alliance between the Aryans and the Nazis. skinheads.
Well, I ally with any group or individual that
isn't...
Isn't
that offensive to people in this country who lost family members fighting against that? You don't find that offensive?
No, because this is a new day and we have to go by new rules. Things change. This isn't World War II.
300 years ago. Well, we're... This century.
Well, look, we're never going to go back to the days of World War II and the 1930s. What is happening now is totally new and it'll be done a different way. So it won't be the Nazi Party. It'll probably be the Democratic Party with a new set of rules.
Well, you may have a kernel of truth there. Yeah. But... All right, Tom, we got to run. We're running late.
It's good talking to you.
All right, if you see Geraldo, tell him I said hello.
I'll break his nose again.
That's what I meant.
Okay, right, bye.
The following is a recording of an interview with WPST Philadelphia, Mark Van Ess, Tuesday, the 17th of November, 1998, WPST-FM.
Hello?
Hi, good morning, Tom, please.
Good morning, this is Tom.
Tom, this is the PST Wake Up Crew in Philadelphia.
Ah, good morning.
How are you today, sir? We're going to tape this particular interview for playback on Friday morning.
All right.
Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's pretend as if we've started all over again. We're rolling tape? We are rolling tape. Good morning, Tom Metzger.
Good morning, how are you?
All right, good, sir. Here are the results of a recent survey. American high school students reveal that 48% of high school students are prejudiced towards gays and 15% dislike blacks and Hispanics. Now, this is up 19% and 8% respectively over the last year. Now, Tom Metzger is the leader of the White Aryan Resistance, and you are thrilled to death with these statistics.
Well, of course, we're always interested when white people are becoming more racially conscious, and whenever we jam many races together tightly and then have unequal applications of the rules in many cases in many schools, there's going to be a revolt of a type.
How is mixing of blacks and whites, or blacks and Hispanics, or whites and Hispanics in high school bad?
Well, if you will go around and observe how it works out in practice, you'll find out that in many cases that people of the black race or even other races get away with a lot more in the school as far as anything racial is concerned. It's not considered racist to call a white guy a white trash or whatever, but if a white kid happens to say anything off-color could be construed as racist, they are pinned to the wall, suspended sometimes, and really get hammered by the administration. So the administrations of these high schools, in many cases, does not apply the rules equally. That causes a big reaction. Well, you can check out the figures. I mean, I'm not saying to believe me. Talk to some kids that are unbiased about it that go to these high schools. Well, you're lucky you were in a school that had administrators that were not PC and maybe were a lot more fair, and I would say that things do work much better under those conditions, but eventually, usually whites tend to congregate together, and blacks tend to congregate together. Obviously, there is some back and forth interplay, but for the most part, they congregate, and in college, too, you see it even more in college and universities.
Well, I think we tend to congregate with those that... I'm not pointing out specific colors, but we congregate those that we have something in common with.
That's true.
Right.
That's true, and we have a million years of evolution to be in common about the white European race of people. And we have a dissimilar history than other races.
So you claim that when white students are exposed to non-white students, then they feel somehow uncomfortable.
Well, it's in our makeup. It's in our genetic makeup through millions of years of evolution that we have these protective feelings of, hey, watch out, that person coming down the trail looks different. He might be an enemy. And so we have these natural feelings, and what happens is people feel guilty now for having those feelings instead of living with them, and then they try to overreact and even outdo, you know, like the liberals do. I think liberals are the most racist people there are.
And if you're not white, then you're assumed to be the enemy, as far as you're concerned.
No, it's not. We are racial separatists, ideally, and we can cooperate with black people or any other race quite well if they also believe in racial separation and the opportunity to separate and develop their own territory, their own governments and land and so forth. Well, because the way we're going, the North American continent, number one, America will fall based upon the multicultural, multiracial idea over a period of time.
And this is a theory now, right?
Well, it happens in every country where it's been tried or where it's happened. You look at any country where whites have lived and they, through whatever reason, have had non-whites come in massive numbers, there will be miscegenation, there will be mixing, and eventually the whites will be bred out, such as what will happen in South Africa eventually.
And now describe, Tom, your perfect world.
Well, there is no such thing. We don't promote a perfect world because we know that's impossible, but what we do know is the white European race of people that's around the world, and we call ourselves Pan-Aryanists, supporting white people around the world. We are the minority race in the world and always have, but many Americans and many students, I'm sure, have this false idea that we are some kind of majority race. The only reason we appear as a majority race is because of the ability to organize the technological creations that we've made, science and all this kind of stuff, and our military and things like this. Without that, we'd have been gone a long time ago because we are far outnumbered and becoming even more outnumbered.
Don't you really? Don't you think, you know, regardless of your color or your background or your belief, that, you know, you're human beings first and that we, you know, as a big group of peoples just ought to be able to be equal and go about our business and prosper?
Well, that's, maybe that's the utopianist view of how things should be, but it isn't that way and it will not be that way because man is a territorial animal and he fights for territory and the spoils and, he will always, as long as we're on this earth, be struggling for territory and various things. It's in his nature. We can't divorce ourselves from the animal world. I cannot hear you too well. I missed that comment. Oh, well, I would like to take credit for all this racism, but I cannot do that. Small organizations or even fairly large organizations cannot change necessarily the opinion of the entire population of white people and others. No, it's a natural thing, but we are lightning rods. We're sort of out there sounding the alarm, hey, danger, danger, danger. But actually, either it's in the genes or in the makeup of white people to survive, or they do have the option of just laying danger, danger. But actually, either it's in the genes or in the makeup of white people to survive, or they do have the option of just laying down in North America and losing the whole continent.
Well, you know, it is this wonderful thing that we get to enjoy here as Americans, this thing called freedom of speech. So you certainly are opinionated, and you're welcome, you know, to share your opinion as all Americans.
Absolutely.
Are. What's kind of freaky to us is the fact, and this is a true, you know, survey of American high school students, that apparently prejudice towards gays and blacks and Hispanics is up.
Well,
and actually a significant amount. Which
now,
is,
that's a very scary statistic.
That's a scary statistic.
Well, recently they did quite a bit of polling of non-white peoples in schools, too, and they found that the non-white people were far more prejudiced than the white people. In fact, they've developed some process of doing that, and you'll find that there's just as much racism among non-whites as whites. It's in some cases quite more, because when a white person is mugged, beat up on the street, and called a white trash, that's never considered a hate crime. But if a white person happens to get involved with pouncing on a black person and saying nigger, negro, or whatever, then it's immediately a hate crime. So these laws are biased against the white males, especially.
Could you ever be friends with a gay man or a black man or whoever?
I can sit down and talk and have a cup of coffee with anybody, and I'm sure that they all have some good ideas, but that doesn't necessarily mean I want to associate with them on a regular basis, party with them and things like that. And I do have business contacts and occasional social contacts in the sense of, you know, just having a cup of coffee or a beer with people of another race, and we don't have a problem, and they know exactly where I stand, and most of them respect it. Because I treat them with dignity.
Well, with all due respect, I just think you have a very closed mind.
Well, I don't have a closed mind. I've traveled the world. I've observed the races in action in the various countries all over the world. I've observed very carefully how race operates in society, and I've come to a conclusion based on evidence and facts instead of this utopianist idea that, oh, if we all just get together, everything's just going to be wonderful. Well, it may be, but you'd have to lobotomize everyone to reach that goal.
Well, again, these survey results we found very interesting. I thought on a Freedom of Speech Friday, it might be interesting to hear your side of the story and hear what you have to say.
For other questions, you can write me at Box 65 in Fallbrook, California, 92088, or warmetzger@aol.com.
And you have a webpage.
Everybody has a webpage.
Everybody. www.resist.com.
Tom Metzger, the leader of the White Aryan Resistance. Thank you very much for being part of the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right, have yourself a good day, sir.
You too.